In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think probably, I'd be a little surprised if this isn't true, probably all of us in here, in this church today, probably all share the same mother tongue. That would be English, of course, but I might be surprised. Maybe there's one of you out there today whose mother or father spoke to you in maybe German or something else when you were a kid. But most of us, it's English, right? Your mother tongue is the tongue that your mother spoke to you. It's the tongue you grew up with as a child. Sometimes it's called your first language. Now, that right away makes us different from Jesus. Jesus definitely, of course, didn't speak English. So you all know, for instance, that Jesus never actually said, "I am the good shepherd." Or he never said, "Lo, I am with you always." Because, of course, he didn't speak English. So all of these words that are so near and dear to us in our mother tongue, words like, "I am the light of the world," or "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden," or "I am the way and the truth and the life," Jesus never actually said those words, right? Because he didn't speak English. He spoke another language. So the gospel, all of those things that we hold so near and dear, they had to come to us in some way. They had to come into our language. Jesus spoke Aramaic, if you've never been told that before. Now, Aramaic is very easy to confuse with Arabic because they sound so similar, but they're different. Arabic is spoken now, today, by most people in the Middle East. But Aramaic was earlier. There's very, very few people that still speak Aramaic today. It'd be very hard to find them. But at Jesus' time, the main languages, you basically had four. Hebrew, which was the Old Testament language. They use that still a lot for religious stuff. And then Greek and Latin were coming much more popular because of the Romans bringing it in. But what was the common language of almost all the Jewish people? Aramaic. So if you remember, if any of you saw The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, in that movie, many of the lines were in Aramaic when Jesus and his disciples would speak to one another. Now, why does any of this matter? Well, it matters because I'm really hoping that you and I, for a minute this morning, will look beyond just our English language and maybe see a little bit of the bigger picture. How many languages does the gospel of Jesus need to come in? Just English? Just Hebrew? Just Aramaic? Just Greek? Just Latin? There are today in the world, they estimate, people that do this, sociologists and stuff, they estimate there's over 6,000 languages in the world. 6,000. The gospel of Jesus has to come in every one of those languages. And this is where Pentecost Day is such a big deal. There is only one gospel. It's not like there's all these gospels, like we've got our English gospel, and then they've got their German gospel, and they've got their Chinese gospel. There's only one gospel. And yet there's these over 6,000 languages. So this one gospel that Jesus, God's Son, died for the sins of the world and rose again, that gospel has to get into every one of our languages, every one of them. So the Holy Spirit gives Pentecost Day. And at Pentecost Day, remember that Pentecost is not originally a Christian festival. It was a Jewish festival, 50 days after Passover, so people would come from all over to celebrate Pentecost. And I was trying to think, what would you compare this to? Anybody who's been to Disney World, I think, can get a grasp of this. If you go to Disney World, all over you hear all these different languages. Well, that's what it would have been at Pentecost in Jerusalem. All these people come from all these different areas. There's been tons of languages going on. So the disciples are there. They're all in a house together. Jesus has gone into heaven, told them to wait there in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, they hear this loud wind. And, you know, you've probably heard people that have lived through tornadoes and such. They talk about this loud roaring, kind of like a freight train. Must have been something like that. It was loud enough that it drew everybody out from their houses to see what in the world this was. Because, of course, it was a clear day, probably. So where's this wind coming from? And when they get out there, what do they hear? They don't hear the wind. They hear these disciples talking in their languages. Languages they've never even spoken before. So what happened there? You have to see the big picture. The Holy Spirit came with the one gospel of Jesus, and he took that one gospel and divided it among these disciples, and they began to speak it in languages they had never studied or learned before. Now, that was a one-time supernatural event. This was something God did just that day at Pentecost. But it's still an incredible miracle. In Acts, you have that phrase, divided tongues, and I've never totally grasped that. But I tried to look it up a little more, and basically the word divided is just like distributed, like you have something, you're going to distribute it to everybody. So the Holy Spirit brings the gospel, and it gets divided, distributed into all these languages. Because all languages, of course, need the gospel. Remember our Old Testament today. All these languages are originally a curse on us. At the Tower of Babel, God had told them, I want you to go multiply and fill the earth. They said, we don't want to do that. Let's build a tower. Let's make a name for ourselves. And God saw what they were doing. He said, man, this is bad. There's going to be no limit to their sin. And so it was a curse. He confused their languages, gave them all these different languages. But now look at Pentecost. What was a curse now becomes a blessing. Because you have all of these languages, and they're all coming together in one gospel. God is uniting the entire world in one language again, the language of the gospel. And think about Revelation. We read this often at funerals. John sees his vision of all these people in heaven. He says it's a great multitude from every nation and tribe and language. All languages now blessed in the one gospel standing before the one Lamb, Jesus Christ. This is what unites us Christians. So, the gospel of Jesus, for instance, is needed in Arabic. I mentioned Arabic earlier just to distinguish it from Aramaic, but now I want to talk about Arabic. You may have heard about this recently. In Egypt, the most common language is Arabic, and there are some Christians still in Egypt. Egypt is predominantly Muslim, but there are some Christians. They're called the Coptic Christians. And just two Fridays ago, they speak Arabic. And just two Fridays ago, a bus full of Coptic Christians was headed to a monastery, and three vehicles of Islamic extremists surrounded them and gunned down the entire bus. 28 people died. Now, if that's not bad enough, just a couple months before, same group of Coptic Christians, you know, same group of people, I mean, in Egypt, Palm Sunday, they're celebrating Palm Sunday in their churches. And in two different churches on Palm Sunday, as these Coptic Christians are celebrating Jesus, two bombs went off, one in each church, killed over 40 of them. Now, do you think the Coptic Christians need the gospel in Arabic? They need it desperately. These folks are dying for their faith. They need to hear of Jesus who rose from the dead, of Jesus who gives eternal life, who forgives sins. They need to hear these words we heard today. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. They need to hear of Jesus. You know where else the gospel needs to be heard? It needs to be heard in Haitian Creole. Mary Engelhorn, one of our members, is going to Haiti. We're collecting some stuff to help her with that. You know, in Haiti, what's the big problem? Poverty. There's scores of people living in poverty. They need, in their language, to hear of Jesus, who gives a promise like this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They need to hear about the riches that are ours in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They need it desperately. And I've heard one of the pastors at Trinity in Bloomington, Terry Strom, I've heard him several times talk about, he's gone to Haiti a number of times, and he will tell you how desperately they need the gospel in Haitian Creole. The gospel of Jesus is needed in Spanish. In Venezuela, have you heard about the things going on in Venezuela? It is absolutely horrible. Horrible to live there. According to one survey recently, 75% of the population in Venezuela have lost an average of 19 pounds. 19 pounds because there's no food to eat. They need the gospel. A corrupt government is keeping basic necessities, food and water, from them. Most of their lives now is standing in line waiting for their rations. The gospel of Jesus is needed in Venezuela in Spanish. The gospel of Jesus is needed in the Dari language. This is why we're doing this project with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Because refugees are coming out of Afghanistan, coming into Europe, and they're coming into the churches, and there's nothing in the Dari language. Right? They need this. They need the catechism and the book of prayer in their own language. Because imagine what these folks have been through. They've been chased out of their homes by radical Muslims. Some of them have grown up in Islam their whole lives, never heard the gospel. They need the gospel in their language. And finally, of course, friends here at Trinity, do we need the gospel in our language? Yeah, we desperately do. You know, you might have heard, in speaking of English, in our English language, that our brothers and sisters in the United Kingdom need the gospel. In the last week, I believe, just yesterday, another attack. 6 people died. That was what I had seen this morning. The gospel of Jesus is needed in our language too, because, you know, we need it. We've lost loved ones near and dear to us. We have friends and family struggling with cancer and other illnesses. We are carrying huge burdens in our hearts from sins we've committed. I mean, we need this. We need it in our language. There are people all around us in El Paso and Gridley and Secor who need to hear the gospel of Jesus, who need to hear about the one who knows them, who knows their heartaches, who knows their sins, who knows their weaknesses, and who gave his life on the cross for them. The gospel is needed everywhere. And this is what Pentecost is about. It's about the gospel of Jesus coming to us in our mother tongue, entering into our ears, entering into our hearts, hearing Jesus say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And that turning our hearts to Jesus who gave his life for us. Those of you who have been with us in the Martin Luther study, you remember, you know how important this was for him, right? He said, look, our German people need the gospel in the German language. They were going to church and everything was in Latin. They couldn't even understand it. He said, this isn't right. The gospel has to be in our mother tongue. That's what Pentecost is about, okay? After all these disciples started speaking in all these languages, what happened? People believed. There were over 3,000 people baptized on Pentecost Day. And it's the same thing happening today. When we hear the gospel in our language, in our mother tongue, when we hear of Jesus who died for our sins, we believe. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper in our language to tell us how Christ gave his life for us. So we have much to rejoice in today. And, of course, much work to do, because the gospel of Jesus needs to be in every language. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.